One of the major projects that I've worked on this year was reaching out to the Raytown community. We've lived in Raytown now for almost 8 years, and I've canvassed in that area off and on over that course of that time, but this year I wanted to give a concerted effort toward that, and I've talked on Wednesday night about this, so you're familiar with the approach we used for that. We set aside 3 weeks to concentrated evangelistic effort of knocking on doors and some other avenues that we explored. We knocked on approximately 1,000 doors. I don't know exact numbers on that. We studied the Bible with a lot of people on their doorstep, and if you recall the class that I shared with you on Wednesday night, that was one of our primary objectives, was to spend at least a few minutes with every person we meet in Bible study, sharing with them Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, 21 through 23, and then also 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. We were able to share those passages with a lot of different people. They didn't always translate into a scheduled Bible study, but we felt like we were sowing the word nevertheless. We held some public studies at Hy-Vee, and you'd be surprised how interested people, patrons, are in Bible studies that go on in public places. We had more than one person comment how much they appreciated seeing people study publicly, and some Bible studies resulted as a consequence of us studying there in Hy-Vee. We held several private studies at home, and as of about 2 weeks ago, we have 14 prospects for studies. We had 3 active studies going at the time and 11 self-guided studies. So I feel like, at least on the measurables, and when I talk about evangelistic work, really what I talk about in terms of measurables is sharing the word with people. When we talk about measurables in that sense, I feel like this was very successful. We did have one conversion as a result of these efforts, and also we had one restoration who is currently meeting with the congregation there on Gregory Boulevard. Of course, I think most of you are aware I'm editor of the Gospel Message, and that work continues, and those of you that take the paper are aware of what's going on with that. One thing that I added this year that kind of came to me in a sad sort of way, Tom Woody contacted me back in April, and at the time he was pretty bad health-wise, and his voice had gotten to the place where he couldn't hardly talk, and he asked me to take over the radio broadcast that he'd been doing for Northern Missouri and Eastern Kansas. He had taken that work over from Bill Hensley just before Bill passed away. I don't know the exact chronology on that, but the congregations in Northern Missouri, 8 of them, pay for 15 minutes of on-air time every Sunday morning from 9:05 to 9:20. That's hosted by KCHI out of Chillicothe. I'm not sure on the radio station in Eastern Kansas, because I haven't actually recorded anything for them yet. They've got plenty of material from Tom. They haven't needed anything from me up to this point. The way that usually works is I record about 10 to 12 lessons, master them with audio software, and then mail them to the radio station. I finished up the book of Acts for Tom and then took the audience through the book of Ephesians. Lewis Garvey has agreed to help me with that as well, and he's going to pick up and do the book of Philippians. We thought it would be good, since we went through Acts, if we just did the prison epistles after that and made kind of a nice, neat package at the for the end of Paul's life. So that's something new that I added back in May, and I've really, really enjoyed doing that work. It took a little bit to get used to it, because you're looking at about a 13-minute and 30-second window, and at least the way I do it, I try to do as extemporaneously as possible, so it's not always easy to predict where you're going to land. So when the ticker's at about 11 minutes, 30 seconds, you start thinking to yourself, well, I got to bring this to some sort of closure. So it's a challenging work, but I've really enjoyed it and gained a lot of insight as a result of it into the scriptures. Of course, I continue to oversee the Let's Reason Together website that averages between 500 and 1,000 visitors every month. This past year, Tad Morris and I recorded 24 videos for that website, And I added a new feature called eTracks. I'd like to get into this a little bit more, but I just haven't got around to it yet. I have three of these complete, and there's another 20 or so that are in various stages of development. Basically, an eTract is a pamphlet that's available in ebook and PDF and Kindle format. So anyone who gets on the website and wants to read an article but wants to do it on their tablet, for instance, can download the ebook or the Kindle version of that and can read it just like an ebook on their electronic device. I think that probably works for smartphones as well. I haven't tried that for smartphones. So that's one new feature we added this year. It's kind of interesting. It's intriguing, but it's one of those things that just takes time, and sometimes it falls low on the priority list. One of the features of the website that I really like, and wish I had gotten her some articles sooner, but Sunny's been translating the articles on our website into Chinese now for, what, about 2 years, Sunny? Is that right? Yeah. I don't know how many you've got on there. I'm not putting you on the spot. You may not know either, but yeah, she's done a lot. And there's a Chinese One True Church site that she's been translating articles into Chinese for now the last 2 years. That's a pretty neat aspect to the site, one that I'm really glad for. I just need to be a little bit better about getting her articles. So my apologies to you, Sunny, on that. That's basically the highlights of this last year. Just a few of the things that I've done. I'll just pause here and ask if there are any questions or comments about that. Anything I've missed that you might remember. We've been doing the Revelation study on Friday nights at Randy and Laura's. Recently started working with the Monday night Bible study on how to share the gospel with people and using a study in order to help convert people to Jesus Christ. We started that last Monday. We've got, I think, three more Monday nights set up. We've got a study going over in Raytown right now with three middle-aged ladies. Jack Dyer and Ed Stevens and I have been leading that. It's a very promising study. We've had some schedule conflicts the last couple weeks that have prevented that from going through, but really excited about the prospects of that. They're really thirsting for knowledge, really thirsting for the Word, and it's just exhilarating to be a part of a study where people are actually interested in knowing. They've got a real hunger for what the Lord has to say. So there's a few more things. Any questions or comments up to this point? Well, I wanted to spend the bulk of my time this evening talking about what Randy talked about last week from my perspective, and that's our relocation up to northern Missouri here at the first of 2014. It is our intent to move to the Unionville area in early January of 2014 and begin working with the congregations in that area. Let me give you just a brief sketch of the history of all this. This started back in May when I held a weekend meeting at Martinstown, Missouri. I realize that some of these names aren't going to mean a lot to some of you because you've never been up there. I remember the first time I was contacted by Darrell Davis. I didn't know who he was, and I'd never heard of Martinstown, Missouri. So I emailed Tom Woody, and I said, I don't even know who this is. So I can relate. If I start throwing names out here you've never heard of, believe me, I can relate to that. I was up at Martinstown, Missouri. I've held three or four weekend meetings up there over the years, and I've grown quite close with Darrell and Linda Davis. Darrell is the elder at Martinstown now. I'll just write his name up there so you can keep track. Darrell has been concerned about the congregation in Martinstown because he's the only elder there. They have prospects for future leadership in that congregation, but he felt like the presence of an evangelist would be a great deal of help to develop those men. And so he broached the topic of moving up there. Well, you know, at first I was intrigued, but of course I wanted to take things very slow, and my busy time was coming up. The summertime was just right around the corner. So we kept talking and kept talking to the point that by the end of June, I was at the point where I could really see this as a viable work, as a viable possibility. Let me tell you why. Not only does Martinstown have potential leadership down the road, there's also a congregation in Memphis, Missouri. which is about an hour east of Unionville on Highway 136. Memphis only has two families, but they are two very active, in my estimation, spiritually growing families. The fathers of whom, it would appear to me, at least in my estimation, and others agree with me on this, those men will be qualified for the eldership in the near future as well. At the time Tom Woody had the oversight of that congregation, I contacted Tom, told him we were kind of discussing this, wanted to get his feel on it. He was very enthused about the move and has been very supportive all throughout the process. Since then, Tom has set aside the oversight at Memphis, and this past Thursday night I took the oversight at Memphis from Tom and am now working with that congregation. So Martinstown and Memphis really were the ones early on who were interested. Memphis has a man by the name of Jeff Davis, Jeff and Darl. Darl is Jeff's father. So that's kind of the connection between those two. They were very interested in this early on and were sort of the ones who got the ball rolling, so to speak, and have been the real proponents of this relocation from its inception. A couple other congregations that are in the area, of course, you've got Unionville. Now, I had not spent any time in Unionville until just a couple of weeks ago. I was up there October 19th and 20th and held a weekend meeting up there to discuss the prospect of moving to that area. I'd not spent any time around the congregation, but I knew a lot of people that were from Unionville, and I knew that there was a need in that congregation for help. I approached Doug Williams back in August of this summer and said, "We're thinking about relocating up here. Would you be interested in having some help in Unionville?" Doug is the son of the last elder at that congregation. He's since passed away. I guess it's been a couple of years ago now. So Doug's sort of the main, I guess you might say, the main man there in Unionville, taking the leadership responsibilities. I approached him in August, said we were thinking about this relocation. He was very enthused about it and was the one who organized that weekend meeting in Unionville where he invited people from the area congregations to discuss this possibility. So Unionville, although they weren't on this initially, they are very interested in having my assistance up there as well. Sheraton, Iowa. Is about an hour north of Unionville. That's the old Bethlehem congregation. That's where the Schreck family originates from. If you know Travis and Tyler Schreck, their grandfather, Albert, is the elder up at Sheraton. As all this was sort of coalescing earlier this fall, Albert and I had a conversation about relocating up there, and he was very enthused about me helping the congregation in Sheraton as well. So as the ball got rolling, it just became pretty clear that there was not just a need, but also a thirst for evangelistic assistance. Although I can't say this across the board, I think there is a real burning desire in many of these congregations, not for someone to come in and rescue them, but for someone to come up there and help them and to work side by side for them, or with them, I should say. One final congregation, and I'm still not entirely sure how things will work, is one in Pollock. Wayne and Doris Camp were from Pollock. You all remember Wayne and Doris Camp, I'm sure. This is where they came from before they moved to Kansas City. I've never been to Pollock. I've only met the people there at Pollock one time, and that was back just a couple of weeks ago. They know that I'm moving up to the area, but we've not discussed any possible work up to this point. So I don't know if that is going to change or not. I'm leaving a lot of this to the people involved. If they're interested in using me, I'm available, but I don't want to impose myself on anyone. So this is sort of how all this came together. These are the five congregations that Randy was talking about the other night. There is one other that's an hour distance from Unionville, and that's in White Oak. That's where Bill Meeks, if you've met Bill and Leota Meeks, that's where they attend. And that congregation is under the oversight of Dan Huff, so they're not in need of any evangelistic assistance, at least to the degree that some of these other groups are. So they don't need me to the extent that others do, but they are interested in helping the work and using me perhaps to teach and preach occasionally. So those are the five, six, if you want to count them, congregations that are in the general vicinity of Unionville. That's sort of how everything came about. And this is where we are at this point. We've got people who are interested in me moving up there. I have interest in doing the work. I'm not, at this time, tied down to any commitments, firm commitments here in Kansas City that I would be leaving behind. I have no oversights, no agreements with anyone. I feel like we've reached a stage, at least in my own personal development, that this is the right time for this. In Acts chapter 16, this is the reason why I say this. In Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, Paul sets out on his second missionary journey. He had been through the region of Galatia back in chapters 13 and 14. And when he came back through to encourage those brethren a third time, he runs across the young man Timothy. Timothy was working among the congregations in Derbe and Lystra and Iconium. He was well spoken of by those congregations. So he'd been working among them for a time, had developed a reputation, and Paul wanted him to go on that evangelistic journey. I'm not saying that I'm Timothy, but I think that our paths, at least to a certain extent, may mirror one another in this respect. I've been working among the congregations that have known me for, 7 years now? Over 7 years? And I feel like I may be at the same point that Timothy was, where going out and working among some others would be beneficial, not to me as an evangelist, to me in my development, I'll just put it that way, that I've reached a stage where I think this could really help me grow as an evangelist, which isn't the only reason why I'm interested in this, but I think it all fits together. Gerald brought that up last week in our business meeting, how he felt like this was a good opportunity for that very thing, and that's at least my scriptural thinking in support of that idea. Looking at the young man Timothy and the development of his work as an evangelist. There's a lot I could talk about with this relocation. I could say a lot of things. I'm not sure what's best to be said, so I'll just pause and ask, are there any questions or comments about this? I'd like to talk more. I'm just not really sure what needs to be said. Anybody? This isn't your only opportunity. We can talk in private if you like. Yeah, Charlie, go ahead. We would be living just outside of Unionville. Yeah, just east of Unionville. Yeah, that's, I wouldn't say it's fairly centrally located. I mean, it's the farthest congregation from that point would be Sheraton. They'd be the farthest away. They would be over an hour away from there. But Memphis would be about 45 minutes. Martinstown would be quite close. Unionville would be quite close. Pollock would be within a half hour. Wide Oak would be about 45 minutes. So pretty centrally located, yeah.
How big is Unionville? Is that things that you need there for your life there?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's about 2,000 people, I would guess. Yeah, it's comparable to, I don't know, Versailles, Eldon, that size of town, something like that. It's the county seat, so I don't know the exact numbers off the top of my head. Yes, it's got that. And Kirksville is also within a half hour of where we'd be looking to live as well. Of course, Kirksville is a college town, so it's got a lot of other things that wouldn't be in a small town necessarily. So, well, that's a kind of a tangly question, Charlie. Kirksville was not looped in on the planning for all this because they would not be directly affected by the work that's needed. Now they've contacted me since they became aware that we were considering this, and they've asked me to do some teaching there, but as far as me working with that congregation, there's no plans and no intent on my part. My intent is to work with these groups that primarily do not have elders. Kirksville has elders. They've got things going there. I don't see that my help is needed there like these other places. Other questions or comments? What's that? I mean, of how long we would be there? Well, I think that largely depends on what happens when we get up there, you know, and how the congregations respond. You know, that's a difficult thing to predict. I mean, the prospects are good right now. I'm seeing a lot of really good signs, but, you know, 2-3 years down the road, that may be a whole different picture. I just don't know. I do not intend to stay someplace where I'm just spinning my wheels, if you know what I mean by that. If it's become abundantly clear that I'm stationary where I'm at, then it's probably time for me to start looking for other places that are in more need of my help. So I haven't put a window on it, and I'm reluctant to do so, but just from what I know of the situations in Martinstown and Memphis, looking at the development of those potential elders, we're probably 7 to 10 years down the road from having those elders put in place, and those are not firm numbers. Those are just best guesses at this point. So one of the most difficult parts of this is, you know, you try and make the best decision you can, but there's a level of just having to trust in God for the unknown, and I guess that's where we're at. We've accumulated as much information, I think, as we can to make the best decision, but there's just too many variables that are difficult to predict, and I'm just choosing to trust the Lord for those things, that it'll become clear where I need to go, if I need to leave or if I need to stay. I'm not trying to dodge your question, Tim. I just don't know.
That's the wrong question. That is the wrong question. It could have been different.
Okay.
You have goals that you want to meet and see, you know, maybe not in a specific time period, but what you want to accomplish that will tell you to meet the next level.
Yes. Yeah. I have 5 long-term goals. I'd like to see in each congregation stable, functional, and scriptural leadership in every congregation. I'd like to see congregations that are better educated in issues of church government, corporate worship, and general Christian living. I'd like to help ground the young people in Christian doctrine and prepare them for service. I'd like to improve the bonds of fellowship within and between congregations. I'd like to equip the saints to share the gospel with their friends, neighbors, family members, and visitors. And those are some pretty broad goals, but that's really what I have in mind. I guess you might say that's a comprehensive view of what I want to accomplish in general. Make sure we've got congregations that are able to stand on their own, which I think that that's the duty of an evangelist, to set things in order, to work himself out of a job, so to speak. Teaching people, helping bring people together, equip people in order to work within the congregation and reaching out to the community, those sorts of things. So, yeah. And I've got specific things that I've begun to formulate for each congregation. I'd rather not get into those publicly, if that's okay, but I can talk about that with you in private. I've looked at each congregation and began to assess what's the best way, what are the things that I can do, what are the things I can provide to help each situation, and we've started working on that already. So, yeah, Phil, go ahead.
You said that you've identified people that are potential leaders down the road. Is that what's going to involve those people, or is it just kind of identifying, hey, here's somebody that needs some qualifications, or are they actually expressing them to say, yes, I would like to grow with them?
Yeah, that's a great question. In the case at Martinstown, that assessment leans a lot upon the elder of that congregation, and since he's really kind of in the position to know, I've leaned upon his understanding of that, although I've seen signs myself in the men that he has in mind. But no, that topic has not been broached with those men specifically. In the case at Memphis, you know, I've discussed that possibility with Tom Woody, so yeah. I mean, the discussion has happened with the men who are currently or who at the time were the current leaders of the congregation. But as far as the men involved themselves, no discussion has happened at this point. And, you know, admittedly, that's one of the variables that's out there. You know, we don't know. Don't know if these men will take on the mantle or not. And that may be a determining factor in whether or not I stay or whether or not I go elsewhere. So, great question. Other questions, comments? Did you have a follow-up, Phil?
No.
Okay, all right. Other questions or comments? There's only so much I can do. You know, a lot of this just depends on the people who are involved in the situation. I mean, there's good signs, and there's enough signs there to merit a relocation, but, you know, it just really falls upon the shoulders of the people involved and whether or not they are interested just in someone coming up and doing the work for them or if they're willing to put their shoulder to the wheel, so to speak. And those things are a little difficult to predict at this point. So, other questions or comments? Is that a hand, Randy? Go ahead. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I intend to maintain some of the relationships that I've developed over the last few years with the congregations in this area. I won't be able to speak there to the extent that I have in the past. I'm looking at two Sundays at the very most of speaking outside of this region. One of the complicating factors is, in a few of these cases, the congregations only meet on Sunday morning. So I have a very limited window of when I can be with them, which is making my scheduling extremely challenging for 2014. But that's just something I got to balance out. I do intend, though, to maintain the relationships that I've developed as much as I can with congregations that want to continue using me in a public speaking capacity. I've also told the brethren at Gregory that I'd be willing to come down one or two days a month to help keep this outreach thing going. I've made that available to them, and we'll see where they take it from there. I also intend to keep my commitments of teaching 2 weeks of the two-week meeting next year. I'm also wanting to teach at Eminence, and I've got 3 VBSs scheduled for next summer, if the Lord wills. So I intend to maintain as much of that as possible, but, you know, I may get to the end of 2014 and have to reassess my schedule. One of the advantages, though, of this particular move is at least 3 Sundays, well, at least 2 Sundays, in most cases 3 a month, I'll be traveling close enough that I'll be able to take my family with me. So we'll be able to spend a lot more time together, which we're all looking forward to a lot. So we won't be apart from one another as much. And I mentioned this last week, but I'll reiterate this again. I mean, there's kids in many of these congregations that are my kids' age. So we feel very fortunate in that respect. We're not moving someplace where our kids will be on an island by themselves. They've got peers. So we're very glad for that as well. All right, I'm rambling now. Other thoughts, questions, concerns? Yes. Yeah, I'll be here once a quarter. I intend to finish the Revelation study that runs through the end of February. I intend to keep that. Trying to think if there's anything else. That's about it. One of the first big things we'll be doing, January and February, I'll be spending some time sort of getting my feet wet and getting to know some of these groups. But in March, we're going to take the congregation in Martinstown through the officer selection process. It's been probably over 30 years since they've done that. And after talking with Darla at length about this, it seems like this would be the best place to start for the congregation. How that's handled, I think, is really important. It's important that we stress that our success is going through the process itself, not in whether or not officers are selected and appointed. We're doing this because we want people to just start thinking about the need that's there, and one of the ways you can do that is to regularly take a congregation through the officer selection process, which I think this congregation does a great job of, as well as Murray Road. I think they do it every 3 or 4 years. I think we're on a similar schedule around here. I just think that's really good to kind of keep things moving, kind of keep things churning, keep people thinking about the needs of the congregation, and that's one of the first things we'll do in Martinstown in March. I'll be spending my whole month with that congregation, taking them through that process for the first time. So we're going to hit the ground running pretty quick. There is much to do. There is work on every hand. Other thoughts, questions, or comments? Well, we'll conclude this evening and extend the gospel invitation. If you're here this evening and you've not made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, we offer you that opportunity to acknowledge him, to confess your faith in him, your belief that he is, in fact, the Son of God, to make that known to all the people who are gathered here, or if you'd rather wait until everyone has left and do that in private with the few people that you choose, we want you to know that opportunity is always available. But we urge you not to wait another moment, to consider the destiny that is before you. There are only two ways. There's only one way that leads to home, and that's the way of the cross. We're only going to go to be with the Lord if we go through the cross. And the only way to be united with the crucifixion of Jesus is through the waters of baptism. So if we can help you obey the gospel this evening, please come forward as we stand and sing the number that Paul has selected.